From NPR News, this is News in No Time, Tony Cox. The world's global crisis continues to deepen as high unemployment rates hit Spain, Ireland, France, and the United States. Just last week, European leaders met in Berlin to devise a plan to kickstart the economy on the other side of the Atlantic, while here at home, President Barack Obama signed a $787 billion stimulus package. But how did we get here, and which nations are hurting and which are not? Joining me now to explain more is Nariman Baravesh. He is Chief Economist and Executive Vice President of IHS Global Insight, a forecasting company that provides analysis on the world's economic and financial markets. Nariman, welcome.
Thank you very much.
This financial crisis that began here in this country was triggered largely by issues tied to the housing and credit markets, but its impact is certainly not limited to our borders. Briefly tell us about the main factors that have led to this global meltdown.
Well, as you say, the meltdown is global, and the sources were global. Certainly, the U.S. played a big role in it. No debate about that, and the housing bubble and the related subprime crisis that came with it were a big factor, but it wasn't the only factor. In fact, if you look at credit growth everywhere in the world, Europe, Asia, China in particular, even parts of the Middle East, that credit growth and that credit bubble were huge, arguably the biggest in history. But again, the emphasis is on global. Everybody participated in this binge, if you want to call it that, in terms of very rapid growth in credit. And it showed up, again, not just in housing in the U.S., but house prices in the U.K. shot up, Ireland, Spain. You saw stock markets in many emerging markets shoot up. And last but not least, we saw commodity prices shoot up. So these were all bubbles that were inflated by this global sort of credit binge, if you want to put it that way.
Well, it appears that the fallout from the recession is being felt hardest at the moment in both Europe and parts of Asia, specifically Japan, Taiwan, South Korea, all major trading partners with the U.S. My question is, are these problems fueled by lower exports as opposed to a subprime mortgage crisis?
Yeah, you're absolutely right that some of the problems, especially Asia, it's more a question of the fact that world trade has collapsed. In part, that's been triggered by, you know, deep recessions in the U.S., now deep recessions in Europe. So you know, a lot of Asian countries that export to Europe and to the U.S. just are seeing their export orders just plummet, and it's hurting them. So they are getting hurt by this. In other parts of the emerging world, in Eastern Europe, let's say, in particular, there it's much more this credit crunch, where these are countries that have borrowed a lot in dollars, in euros, in Swiss francs, and they're getting clobbered by now high interest rates and this tightening up of credit that's occurring worldwide.
Now, the economies in Africa, let's say, and the Caribbean are different, are they not, from either the U.S., Europe, or Asia? And I'm thinking, for example, of the $1 million notes being printed up willy-nilly in Zimbabwe. How has the global downturn affected them?
Well, just on Zimbabwe for a minute. Zimbabwe has a whole host of problems that are really quite unrelated to the credit crunch and the financial crisis. These have been problems that have been in the making for a long, long time because of an economy that's been run into the ground. But more generally, Africa and Latin America are being hurt, but it doesn't seem quite as bad, for example, as those in Eastern Europe. Their debt levels are not as high. While they're hurting some because of the big fall in commodity prices, I mean, we've seen, for example, the first negative growth in South Africa since 1998. But I don't think these are as hard hit because the financial exposure in this part of the world is not as great as, let's say, it is in the U.S., certainly in Europe and parts of emerging Europe.
Is that what is allowing some countries to be, I hesitate to use the word financially successful at the moment, but allowing them to compete in a way that they had not been able to before?
Well, it's possible, I think. I think everybody's getting hurt. The only question is how much. And as we were saying earlier, many of the countries in Africa and Latin America seem to be, for the moment at least, being hurt less than countries in other regions like, say, Russia or Ukraine or Hungary. So it's a matter of relative hurt rather than success.
Ah, that's a good way of putting it. Now, when trouble strikes, immigrants and their families may choose to head home, or they could be forced to return if their visas depend on having a job. What impact has the economic downturn had on immigration?
It's been quite large. Immigration is one measure of globalization, Others are, of course, investment flows and trade, and they've all fallen. But immigrants in particular often get hurt first, if you will, partly because the jobs dry up, so they voluntarily leave, as you were saying, but partly because some of them are guest workers that are sent home because the host country, if you will, has no jobs for them and views them in a way possibly as a threat to local workers. So they often, immigrants, that is to say, often will get hit first before the local workers do.
But the final thing is this. We've hit all the continents except for Australia, and I don't know what their circumstance is economically. Is it as I would assume that perhaps it is like it is in Western Europe. Am I correct?
I think you're right. There are some differences between Australia and Western Europe. You're right in the sense that it is a mature economy, but it's also a country that exports a lot of commodities. So Australia, for example, has been hit pretty hard by the huge drop. It's an 80% drop in commodity prices, you know, all kinds of things, coal, metals, and so on. So Australia, as well, as being hurt, not because it had its own sort of inherent financial problems, but this is a global recession.
Nariman, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
That was Nariman Bharavesh. He is chief economist and executive vice president of IHS Global Insight, a forecasting company that provides analysis on the world's economic and financial markets. He joined us from Boston Bureau Productions in Boston, Massachusetts.